Today on Season 4, Episode 5 of the Unknown Packers Podcast, it's our last episode before tomorrow night's draft, and we are putting in our final predictions. Bryce, Ken, and myself debate whether or not Goody sticks at pick 29, and if this is a make-or-break draft for him. We talk draft needs, and then welcome Jason Perrone of Game On Wisconsin, Pack-A-Day Podcast, and Quick Slants Podcast to the UPP studio. We pick his brain while giving you our no-matter-what guys, as well as our draft sleeper picks. We all have a different approach to the draft this year. Does it line up with yours? Listen in and find out. And now it's time for Draft Day Part 2, On Tap.
This is Green Bay, Green Bay.
Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers podcast.
Touchdown! Dagger! Al Harris, 56 yards to a game-winning touchdown! Green Bay Packers!
Go, Pack, go! Running isn't everything, but it's the only thing.
Packers podcast.
Green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow. Green
and let me tell you this, Green Bay is a great town.
This is Green Bay, Green Bay, Green Bay,
Green Bay. And welcome to the Unknown Packers podcast for Draft Day Part 2. The draft is here. It is NFL Draft Week. Packers fans, I am thrilled to talk NFL Draft with Ken Engels and Niebels, and then we're going to welcome guest Jason Perrone of Quick Slants Podcast under Game On Wisconsin, as well as Pack-A-Day Podcast for the second half. And this is just an NFL draft episode. So right off the bat, I actually wanted to ask the storyline. Apparently, this is a storyline. So I was listening to sports radio, and whoever was talking, he will remain nameless. But he mentioned that it would be a make it or break it type of draft for Brian Gutekunst in his fourth upcoming NFL draft. Now, it begs the question then, under Gutekunst's draft history so far in 2018, 2019, 2020, and now in 2021, how do you think Brian Gutekunst has fared?
You know, I'm sitting here looking, you know, on my screen right here between from those three draft classes, and man, he's knocked it out of the park at the front of the rounds, you know, the early side. You know, it's hard to draft or to judge 2020 being only 1 year removed, but just looking at the 18 and the 19, guys like Jair Alexander, Rashawn Gary, Darnell Savage, Elton Jenkins, like those are household names. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, though, there aren't as many of those kind of in the later half of the rounds. You know, once you get into three beyond, it's kind of falls off a cliff.
Do you think it's a make it or break it type of year, though? Like if he, so this is an important draft, obviously. All draft classes are important, and you can really ruin a franchise if you do have a mm-hmm. poor draft. We experienced that under the latter years of Ted Thompson, unfortunately, where Gutekunst actually did have to go out and spend in free agency just to fortify that cupboard because of those swing and miss types of draft classes, or one in particular that, again, will remain nameless. This is going to be a positive draft going into the NFL draft this upcoming weekend, specifically Thursday night. I personally think that Gutekunst has also done a fine job, but the question made me ponder. So Rashawn Gary is still, we think, is a blossoming potential superstar. Elton Jenkins is a stud of a second-round draft pick, and Jair Alexander as well. But the question that was brought up was that apparently Drew Locke was a big target for Brian Gutekunst and company. He thought that at the 12th pick when he eventually took Rashawn Gary, that it was too high for Drew Locke. But that apparently in the second round, that Drew Locke was the guy, and that John Elway and the Denver Broncos ended up trading up a pick before the Packers ended up taking Elton Jenkins and plucking Drew Locke. So apparently Gutekunst has had his eyes set on Drew Locke and then got his quarterback of the future with Jordan Love. So that's where the whole sort of bashing of Brian Gutekunst, he has to do it this year with an all-in type of season, what he's done so far. However, this the sports guy, if you will, was talking about how Brian Gutekunst hasn't done anything in free agency, and we all know what the salary cap implications were. But bear that in mind. What do you think going into this upcoming draft? Like, what are the draft needs? And given recent history, he's done really good in the higher rounds, probably struggled a little bit in day two, day three. But Neebles, overall, what do you think Gutekunst has done? And where do you think that the Packers target in those early rounds this coming Thursday and Friday?
I mean, I think Ken did put it pretty well. I was kind of looking at his draft history as well, and I believe he's picked 28 players over the three drafts that he's participated in, and only four of those players are currently no longer in the league. And those were all picked in the latter half of 2018, obviously with Cole Madison and Jamon Moore being the highest picks that didn't quite work out. I just think that as of right now, I think it's too early to say that this year will be a make it or break it draft for him. I mean, they always say you got to give players 3 years to kind of mature to see what they're going to be like before you can, you know, give them a true grade from the draft. And, you know, we're approaching, you know, year three for a lot of these guys. So I think he has a little bit more time. It is going to be very important for him given our, you know, our salary cap situation for next year, which obviously Ken's talked about many times. And, you know, the fact that, you know, we don't have any receivers under contract and we're incredibly thin at cornerback, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, I think he's going to have to address a lot of those needs in the upcoming draft. I mean, I'd like to see him kind of fortify that offensive line. I'm one of those offensive line guys. Obviously, you know, we need cornerback depth. Some defensive line help would be nice. And obviously we need some receivers as well. So, you know, I'm going to admit I haven't been studying up on the draft this year a whole lot. I'm taking a different approach this year, and I'll tell you about that a little bit later.
I'm looking forward to the second half. And like I mentioned, that we'll have Jason Perrone in the second half. I listened to his most recent podcast episode on Quit Slants, and he bashed a player of mine. So brace yourselves. The second half will be spicy. It will be exciting. I'm very, very eager to talk to our friend and guest, Jason Perrone. But when you look at Brian Gutekunst, last year the whole craze was that you had to go a wide receiver in the first round, let alone they completely bypassed that positional group. And what did they churn out? A very high-octane, number one ranked offense throughout this past season. So going into this year with it being a wide receiver heavy class, for some reason, if you would have asked me 4 or 5 weeks ago, what position, I would have said offensive line, and I still do think that is probably priority number one, and they'll probably address it in the first or second round. But for some reason, the wide receiver is calling me in the first round. Last year, I didn't think that the Packers would take a wide receiver in the first round. This year, for some reason, I feel it in my bones. There's just some sort of weird gut intuition. But keep in mind, much like Neebles, I've taken a different approach when it comes to, I'm more looking forward to enjoying the draft rather than like last year I crunched a bunch of film breakdown, and then they took players that I had no idea were ever going to be drafted for the Green Bay Packers. So for me, I'm probably way off base, but for some reason, I think the biggest need are offensive linemen and wide receiver.
Yeah, I'm with you when it comes to, you know, some of these needs. You had me for a little bit. It was like a siren song calling me over to the wide receiver camp. You know, will they do it? I'm starting to go back to my roots a little bit. My gut's telling me that they're going to go on the offensive line if they stay where they're at 29. If they move up, I can see them going over for a cornerback. There's just been so many names that Gutekunst has personally gone to go see at these pro days. I know the combine wasn't a thing this year with COVID closing that down, but you know, he's just linked to so many of those big name cornerbacks, whether it's in the first, second round projected to go. Cornerback,
in my opinion,
going into this off season was by far their biggest need. People forget that they did bring back King. They brought back Sullivan. Those two guys right now are going to be starters. Mm-hmm. Your three defensive backs right now for this season, your top three are potentially already here, but it's about next year as well. And I can still see them taking, you know, going up, getting a guy like Newsom to compete with King, you know, for that potential starting spot on the outside opposite of Jair. Man, Tevin Jenkins is very appealing to me on the offensive line. Plug and play right tackle for the future.
I don't think he gets there to 29, to be honest.
I know. A man can hope.
Yeah, I don't mean
it. He's my crush. Right, you know, a week ago, before the draft on Thursday, I tweeted out it's 1 week before the Packers draft Tevin Jenkins, and that, you know, is like, he's probably not going to be there, but I'm trying to speak it into existence at this point.
I didn't mean to. I mean, I think he's a behemoth, and he'd be an imposing figure on that line. He's got that nasty, too, mm-hmm. that I think Coach LaFleur likes a lot, too. A lot of the players, so this was interesting. Here's the thought process I had, is that Gutekunst, I mean, no one knew that they were high on Rashawn Gary, on Darnell Savage, on Jair Alexander, and yet, like, he's continuously, every year, he's linked to these players that maybe, I mean, I know that he was linked to Jace Sternberger, and they ended up drafting him, but for the most part, I think a lot of it is smokescreen. So when you're seeing all these names, specifically cornerback, and this is just my shot in the dark. I, like I said, this is probably the least prepared going into an NFL draft. But at the same time, I don't know. There's some sort of gut intuition that's influenced me right now where I firmly believe the Packers go offense in the first two rounds. They go back-to-back offense from last year, this year, very much like what 2018 and 2019 was for the defensive side of the ball. Coach LaFleur gets a couple more dynamic players. It's either offensive lineman and then the Packers in the second round, snag a wide receiver or trade up. But those are, for me, that's what I think ends up happening. I think those are the two biggest needs, and I think you can get a cornerback later on, third, fourth round, but in terms of last week, so our last episode a week ago, we talked about some trade up, trade down, and stay put scenarios. Neebles, I'm wondering, right now, do you think that the Packers stay put at 29, they trade out, or do they trade up?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, we've seen Goody make moves to, you know, just kind of trade back before. I can't see them trade. I can't see them giving up any draft capital to move up. I think that in this year, like I mentioned before, it's going to be important to kind of get more bodies on the team. You know, more bodies on the team, you know, better chance of, you know, guys making the team and kind of helping out the positions of need for next season and beyond. So I think they either stay put at 29 or they move back maybe into the early second, maybe get a couple more picks, you know, a couple more draft picks in his pocket to work with. But I can't see them moving up in any scenario. It was kind of funny. Last week I wasn't on here, but one scenario that I saw thrown around was trading up to 15 with the Patriots. And then using that pick, I mean, it was like their first round pick, a first round pick next year, you know, like four draft picks involved. And then they had them taking a linebacker. And I kind of chuckled at that. I'm like, I don't really value that position enough to give away that kind of capital, you know, to move up to 15. So I don't know. I just see him staying put at 29 or maybe moving back into the early second.
Interesting. Ken, do you still have the same mindset as you did last week?
No. And the reason why I don't is earlier today, when, you know, the day we're recording this, Gutekunst had his pre-draft press conference. And something that really kind of stuck with me or you know, stood out, I should say, from that is that he mentioned that there's only a handful of what he considers game-changing players, and he's not going to be afraid to move up the draft board if he needs to get one of those guys. And then you pair that with, you know, kind of how he said it and in the tone of the context of the question about, you know, how he puts his board together and everything. It makes me wonder if he's got a short list of guys and he's done his homework to, you know, target them. And he even, I believe, used the word target. So just kind of hearing him again today and seeing his past history, you know, he's moved up in every single draft that he's run so far for the Packers. Yeah, he's moved down and he's also stayed put. But it seems like he's the type of guy that kind of, you know, that he puts his draft board together, but then he kind of has his little sideboard. And he's like, these are my boys. Mm-hmm. And what would it take for us to, you know, make sure that one of them puts on the green and gold? So I'm starting to think that he's got that itch again. Picking back 29, that's tough. That's a tough spot. I think it's a good spot to move back, but if I had to guess right now, I think they're going up based off of kind of the comments made today.
I never thought so. Last week when we recorded our draft one episode of Draft Day on Tap, I thought that the Packers would stay put. I do not see the Packers trading out into the second round. I think Gutekunst values the first round. You can even throw that fifth year option out there. But I remember Gutekunst's first post draft press conference, and he talked about the first round, and the way he talked about that first round draft pick, he gushed about him. And so for me, I don't see them moving up drastically, but that 25, 26 spot, I could see them leaping in front of Baltimore and New Orleans. We sort of have similar needs, offensive line, wide receiver, possibly cornerback based on what the Packers view. But I could see the Packers trading up. I just, the way Gutekunst has addressed that first round, he's had four first round trades. I foresee him getting a little active once again, getting that itch.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see how far. But if I, for some reason, that sweet spot right around the Cleveland and Jacksonville, I could see him jumping up three picks, much like what San Francisco did last year. I could see the Green Bay Packers playing spoiler with possibly Baltimore and New Orleans.
Right. Another comment that he made today that I stuck with me was he feels really good about the team that he has. And yes, he admitted that, you know, they were a little bit more aggressive, doing some cap things to kind of bring the team back, you know. And he said, we signed the best running back on the market. We signed the best tackle on the market. We signed the best defensive tackle on the market. He feels really good about this team. And he made a comment specifically about how if we had to go play on Sunday, I would feel good. Like, we don't have a key missing hole, right? So for him, that allows him to really draft anywhere he wants. He doesn't need to get a cornerback or an offensive tackle right now, according to kind of what he was saying. So that kind of also reinforces mine. If there's a guy that he just likes based off of pure talent and where they could potentially develop into, you know, like a Rashawn Gary, Jordan Love type of picks that he's made, I could see that again, where he pulls the trigger and kind of shocks us all. But, you know, if he's got his guy in mind, he'll do it.
Yeah, he's a pouncer. And I'm looking forward to talking about guys that we love, we like, maybe some sleepers, some names that we haven't heard. We're going to talk about that in the second half with our guest, Jason Perrone of Quick Slants and Packaday Podcasts. We'll be right back right after this commercial break. Go Pack, go.
This episode is brought to you by Sonic Transformation. Check us out at www.sonictransformation.com. Sonic Transformation, your sound refined.
Go Pack, go! And we're back with the second half of Draft Day Part 2 on tap. And it is NFL Draft season right now, NFL Draft Week. And we've got guest Jason Perrone of Quick Slants Podcast of Game On Wisconsin and Packaday Podcast in the UPP studio. First off, Jason, how are you doing and how are you feeling about NFL Draft Week?
I'm doing great. Doing well. It's good to be back with you guys. Again, been listening to the show. Great job as always. Want to give a shout out to the UPP crew. I'm excited. And I took a little bit of a different approach this year than I have in years past. And that is one of the reasons why I think I'm a different kind of excited this time around. And we'll talk through that as we kind of go through the week that is. But, you know, it's anytime we get some NFL action, it's exciting because we haven't had anything since the Super Bowl. So it's one of those things where, like, you know, the week leading up to the first game of the season, you're like, okay, Monday, and you're almost like it's just dragging and you're counting down, and every day that goes by is one day closer to game day. So Thursday night will be here before we know it.
Well, everyone, I think, so far has had a different approach this year to the NFL 2021 draft. I didn't take a lackadaisical approach. I didn't watch as much film and I did more reading. The UK Packers draft guide is something that I just absorbed, that I loved, and got to fall in love with some players, got to pick up on some sleepers as well. And first off, we talked about this in the first half, but Jason, I am wondering, what do you think that the Packers do in the first round? Do they trade up? Do they trade down? Do they stay put? And then is there a certain position that you think that the Packers target in the first round?
So interestingly enough, too, the draft is not something that I'm known for delving really heavily into on the analytical side. And I definitely this year, just on a personal side, too, just started a new job and some other stuff going on. So I didn't delve into it as much. But this year, I focused on that raw athletic score. I know it's not the end all be all, but at this point now, three drafts in, we know that what Brian Gutekunst is looking for, and he's given us enough sample size that we can't ignore it, right? So I really kind of guided myself in terms of, well, do they meet that profile, especially for those first few rounds, if the Packers are going to pick in the first round or the second round, that raw athletic score is probably going to come into play. It's probably going to be very, very important. So there's going to be, in the first round, there's going to be a really good player available if the Packers do nothing and stay put. But they could move. You know, they've moved several times. Mm-hmm. They have their own guidelines for who's the guy. And we can't, again, we can't ignore those scores, some of the metrics. If we're really interested in who the Packers are going to take, we might all have our own opinions on who we want. But if you want to be realistic and you want to be right and you don't want to be throwing your hands up on draft night, which I can safely say I have done a couple times in the past years, then you have to be realistic. So, and we've all been fed similar information from these last few months since the season ended. Last season ended, PFF, the mock drafts, the endless draft podcasts, the write-ups. They've all thrown a bunch of player names out there, and it's the same thing. You know, there's a consensus, probably 15 names that the Packers could take in the first round, and they're not going to pick any of them. So they just haven't proven to tip much for what the Packers do, right? So, and they put an eye towards the future. So as much as we can look at positions like wide receiver, cornerback, offensive tackle, Brian Gutekunst has his board and he has his mentality, and he might be looking, you know, several years down the road. So, and there's a chance, albeit very minuscule, that if Aaron Rodgers comes back down to earth and, you know, doesn't play lights out this season, which I expect him to play very well, that maybe Jordan Love is a quarterback next year. So then how do you protect your team when there's a young, unproven quarterback taking over, if that's what, in fact, the Packers are looking at? And if Gutekunst opts for defense, for example, the conventional wisdom is to do something because he wants to, you know, keep the score manageable for a young quarterback that's learning the NFL game. Hmm. Well, on defense, you do something that affects the passing game. So then you maybe look at the cornerback position, safety, edge rusher, perhaps. If it's offense, wide receiver does seem to be the clear and obvious choice, because you guys have already probably talked about this. There's nobody besides 17 that's set to come back next season as far as contracts go. So for the first time in a long time, I didn't allow myself to fall in love with anybody. So I don't really have a single, like, the guy that I want to see this year that I think the Packers really have to get. There is one. I mean, you know, if you were to ask me, under any circumstance, you know, I do have a guy, but
who's the guy?
Just a couple.
Who's the guy?
Well, we'll get to that. But at cornerback, if you look at cornerback position too, I think a couple names that I like: Caleb Farley. We'll see what the medical comes back as, but his measurables are great. Caleb Farley's picking up some steam lately. Mm-hmm. I think there's a good chance that he might not be there when the Packers pick, or they might have to move up if they want to get him. Greg Newsome, maybe even more momentum. I mean, he just seems to be climbing up draft boards all over the place. So Greg Newsome's another one. And again, these are the guys with the, you know, with the testing, with the scores that I like a lot. So I'm hearing Newsome's name way too much. And I kind of made the joke on Quickslants. And thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. Joke that I made was, the more you hear a name connected to the Packers, the less likely the Packers are to draft that player. So
it's true.
I just hear too much Greg Newsome, and I think he's a phenomenal player and he'll probably be gone. But, you know, we never know who the first corner is going to be. It's not going to be the Packers. I mean, somebody way before Green Bay is going to take a corner. But these NFL GMs, they always surprise us, you know. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Goody wants versatility. He goes safety, and you got, you know, Trey Merrick, and he's sitting there, and Newsome, J.C. Horn, Rashad Bateman are gone. Then you run that card up to the podium. So offensive tackle, Tevin Jenkins, Alex Leatherwood. I really like Alex Leatherwood. I think he's a safe pick. He would be a great addition to that offensive line. And you can't ignore the fact that Goody scouted Rashad Bateman in person. So obviously they've got their eye on him. If they want to go wide receiver, they've double, triple dipped at positions of need in the past or are at positions that they wanted to. So if they're going to go receiver, Rashad Bateman and Kadarius Toney was
there's
a guy I felt like
the elephant in the room.
Well, I felt like so Kadarius Toney is an interesting one for me because he was kind of the big draft darling, and everybody coming out of the season was like, we got to get a receiver next to Devontae and we got to get him some help. And Kadarius Toney's great. And he was kind of like the dude for wide receivers. And it's kind of slowed down a little bit. And some of these other names have.
Oh, it's about to pick up here in about a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Kadarius Toney's is one too that he hits the threshold. He's got the size. He's got the measurables. Maybe if he's there, the Packers like him. So those are just a few at this point. And obviously, corner, safety, wide receiver, offensive tackle. Chances are, based on what I just said there, and because the football gods like to make me look silly, it's going to be a position that isn't any of those. So, but that's just kind of how I kind of see the first round shaping up. But I'm looking forward to it because I think this draft's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, you mentioned it in your episode with Quick Slants, the stock in the cupboard. And when you talked about Kadarius Toney, he's been my guy. He is the no matter what player. However, I do think that there's some red flags about him that I don't know if the Packers do bite. He had some off the field altercations with police, and I think he had like a fake like AK-47 that, and apparently he's been compared to as a Marshawn Lynch, where he goes to the beat of his own drum, does his own thing, sometimes seems aloof. But then again, when you're looking at the NFL draft, they will just pick apart anything. The off-the-field altercations is what sort of concerns me. Packers typically high character. Maybe it was a little slip-up. Who knows? But Packers tend to lean heavily on those high character, locker room sort of camaraderie type of players. But in terms of skill set, a Kadarius Toney, he's my no matter what player. Like, I would love to see him in Green Bay. And I know that it was boiling hot in February, started to cool down a little bit in March. But and now you're not really hearing his name at all linked to the Green Bay Packers.
Exactly.
But for me, I look at what Tyler Irvin meant to this offense, or the potential of Tyler Irvin. And I know that there are a lot of different outlets that talk about how this, you don't invest in a gadget player that high. And typically I would agree, but for some reason, I think that is the missing piece. And it also doesn't, it fills an area of need right now. And it is also a long-term play. The Packers have needed like a slot wide receiver. And when you have a guy of his caliber where he can take it to the house in a blink of an eye, he's got just this arsenal of weapons at his disposal. And where LaFleur can line him up, he could make a lot of things easier for Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, Devontae Adams, and Aaron Rodgers. A plug-and-play type of person is an offensive tackle, which is what I think the Packers will do in the first round, personally. In the second round, probably draft a wide receiver. But Kadarius Toney is that no matter what, I would love to see just the opportunity, the potential. And I'm curious, out of all three of you, who is your no matter what player? And I'll start with Neebles.
Oh boy, put the pressure on me right off the bat. I will admit, like I said, I'm kind of taking a different approach to the draft this year. Normally in years past, I do, I'll research guys, I'll watch film, whatnot. And it got to the point where I'll fall in love with multiple guys. And like you guys said, none of them end up with the Packers. And I'm disappointed by that and usually upset by whatever team they signed with. So this year, I kind of took a step back. I did a little bit of reading here and there, but I tried not to fall in love with one guy, again, just to kind of avoid that disappointment, if you will. I know. It sounds kind of odd.
I'm making fun of myself because I just got a glimpse of what I would look like when Toney puts on like a Raiders
right?
jersey or something like that.
So I was kind of going with the approach of kind of holding back on all the research, falling in love with the guy. But when the Packers do draft a guy, really get into it, kind of research him, see what he's all about, and get excited about the pick itself. I did mention to you guys before, though, if I did have a kind of a homer pick, if you will, later in the draft, maybe late day two, early day three, that the Davion Nixon, the defensive tackle from Kenosha, from Kenosha, Wisconsin. Ooh. Local boy. So I did a little bit of reading about him. Seems like he doesn't have a whole lot of college experience. I mean, I know it's a real lousy defensive line class this year, but he just kind of stuck out to me. Had a pretty nice year.
Hawkeye, right?
Yeah, Hawkeye, yeah. Pretty nice year last year, and I think he kind of could be fun, maybe a project. But if I was to pick anybody, I would say, yeah, he's not my no matter what guy, but he's the guy I'm going to have my eye on. Oh, just kind of wondering where he's going to end up.
Interesting. Ken,
I already alluded to it. Yeah, you know, I do this every year. I like the idea of drafting the big guys early, and I think every single year for the past, this would probably be the third year in a row. Where, again, I'm more best player available, but if I'm going to have to put a name on a piece of paper, I'm going to put Tevin Jenkins' name down. Again, I don't know if he'll get there, if he'll be there. I'm trying to speak it into existence. It's just really hard to find 6'6", 320-pound guys who are as athletic as he is, you know, talking about that RAS score, and could just be a day-one starter on the right tackle spot for the Packers this year. They've got a lot of question marks on the O-line with, highlighted by Bakhtiari. Who knows what his status will be. And obviously, center walking away in free agency. So I think there's need there, and it's a premium position. I think I would be happy each and every year if the Packers drafted an offensive lineman or defensive lineman or a cornerback or an edge rusher in every single first round draft. Maybe sprinkle in a wide receiver or a quarterback like we saw last year, you know, when you need to. But if I'm going to hedge a little bit, like I always do, Greg Newsome would be kind of my 1B. I know it's the name that we hear too much, as Jason mentioned, but I'm feeling that could be more of like the, I think you have to go back all the way to 2014. Where HaHa Clinton Dix, that was the name going into that draft, and the Packers did that. Since then, it's been who? You know, who? But if there's that HaHa Clinton Dix type of pick that's made, you know, I would, in terms of name recognition, Newsom would be that guy I'd be pretty over the moon for.
Jason, do you have a no matter what player? Like, and I'll clarify a little bit with my next category, but my no matter what player doesn't mean that I think that the Packers will draft him in the first round. It's just a player that I've... Kadarius Toney is just the player that I've gravitated to the most, where I would love him in green and gold. But when it comes to the first round, I'll share my pick here upcoming. But I'm curious, Jason, do you have a no matter what player?
I do. I don't think it's very realistic for the Packers. But just looking at, just talking about some of these guys, like Bryce, to your point, Florida has got this interesting stigma with players, and they've kind of earned it, unfortunately, with their, you know, look at Ja'Kai Polite just last year, right, where he was a name that was hot and heavy to the Packers. It feels like there's Florida names that get talked about that are hot and heavy to Green Bay, and then he's not even in the league anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and they've had obviously a bunch of players. I mean, they've had some players that have done really well. You know, Kyle Pitts is, I think, going to be absolutely fantastic player. I mean, if you want to talk about a no matter what player, I mean, it's easy to say Kyle Pitts, but that's not totally realistic. And as it is, I still don't think I'm being very realistic, but Niebels, you and I are sharing a brain this year. It's like, okay, we've been through this song and dance. We've seen this movie enough times. Like, let's not ruin the ending for ourselves. Right.
Sure.
So let's not fall in love with anybody in particular and just sit back and see what happens. Ken, to your point, Tevin Jenkins, the last time the Packers took a player like Tevin Jenkins, they won the Super Bowl. They took Brian Bulaga in 2010, and he played 10 seasons for them. And, of course, it's not the fun, oh, my gosh, they got this flashy wide receiver or quarterback or anything like that. But they need it, and they needed it, and it obviously served them very well. So I like where all of you guys are at. This guy's going to be gone. The Packers have to move up quite a bit if they want to get him. But to me, it's like, to answer this question, it's like, this is the guy who, even if he's not on your board, you push the board aside for him. And to me, that's J.C. Horn, the corner. And I think Horn is potentially going to be one of the first cornerbacks taken. So it's just not very realistic, unless Green Bay has a plan and they really like him and they want to move up. And I don't know in this particular draft that unless they can get some sort of a steal, you know, they made a great deal with the Saints back in 2018 to stack themselves. And if you get one, you get a team that's desperate for some reason, I don't know why you would that high in the draft, if you're moving back and they can get a good deal and they can move up for Horn and not have to give up too much. But JC Horn is just, he's that guy. If you ask me, you know, even over Newsom, who's the one player, just because I love the dog in him. I love the attitude that he brings, the athleticism. He's got the size. I mean, I think he's Kevin King, but with mojo. And that's not to say that I'm not a big fan of Kevin King, but I'm also not a fan of trotting the same thing out that you did last year and expecting a massively different result. So I don't think the Packers reach and go for need there. But to me, if it's JC Horn, I mean, you're dancing in the streets, you know, to which is what I did with the Clinton Dix pick. You guys were talking about haha Clinton Dix. I was really excited when they drafted him. And what happened there, right? So there's a lot of lessons in recent drafts past for us to draw on as we navigate this week.
That's why the different approach is fun too, just because, like, I mean, I used to break down so much film when it came to the NFL draft. And last year, it humbled me to the point where they had, you know, an overall draft where I had no idea what was going on. I kind of sort of know connecting the dots looking back, but I digress. When we talk about, as we get closer to wrapping up draft day part two, players that you like, some sleeper players, one sleeper player, and maybe it's not something that sort of pops into your mind quickly. And when we think of sleeper players, we're probably thinking more day three, but Jamin Davis is a guy that, so I know that I would like the Packers to go offensive line or wide receiver, focus on the offensive side of the ball for the top two draft picks. But Jamin Davis is sort of an intriguing prospect, linebacker out of Kentucky. I don't think he's there at 29 personally, but crazier things have happened, and the Packers have Chris Barnes and Kamal Martin. But Gutekunst sort of did swing and miss on Oren Burks back in 2018, where he drafted up or traded up in the third round to get Oren Burks. Jamin Davis, sort of similar profile in that regard, but he's a guy that's a end-to-end missile, can diagnose plays really well. Something that sort of popped in my mind while doing this episode and prepping for it was what the Buccaneers had that stymied Kansas City as well as Green Bay. They had fast linebacker play. So the sleeper pick for me is middle linebacker. They haven't done it since AJ Hawk. A lot of people said that it's not a priority for the Green Bay Packers, but I just wonder if the stink from that NFC Championship game has not washed off and they're still thinking about how David and White just wreaked havoc on the offensive line and Aaron Rodgers. Do they make a play at a speedy inside linebacker? Give Aaron Rodgers a toy, but more on the defensive side of the ball. So he's a sleeper for me. I just don't know what they value inside linebacker, but that's something that I've sort of been gravitating towards is what if the Packers do take just a supreme player in Jamin Davis, who's also been compared to what Isaiah Simmons was last year, who was arguably the top linebacker that the Arizona Cardinals drafted. I just got crickets now. Was it that much of a sleeper? Was it that crazy?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know if you were kicking it to me or if you were kicking it to one of the guys.
I've been planning that for a while just to kind of just go quiet and just see who dips their toe
it was
first.
Such a sleeper that I fell asleep. Well, I'll jump in. So when I'm thinking about sleepers, you know, I'm thinking, you know, late day three guys. And this is a name that probably, you know, folks that are following the draft, following the Packers is a name that's been connected, but I just think it's such an easy kind of plug and play fit. And that's Puka Williams from Kansas, running back who can basically just become Tyler Urban in this role. I know, Bryce, you mentioned, you know, Kadarius Toney and what he could bring to the offense, you know, kind of being that shifty guy out of the slot, potential to move all over the offense. You know, you can have something similar to that type of role, but, you know, maybe do it, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh round. And, you know, I think he would come in and potentially be the immediate favorite to be the kick and punt returner on this team as well. Some of the issues there, I know he's had a little bit of off-field issues in the past. That's something that the Packers have investigated and are comfortable with. You know, I think that that's something that, and there is a need for a third down type of player, you know, behind AJ Dillon behind Aaron Jones on this team. And we've lost Williams and we lost Irvin as well. Now I know Irvin had that kind of wide receiver role. I could see something like this too, with, you know, Puka going into the slot a lot. I saw something on Twitter that, you know, there's a lot of Williams fans that are sad that he's now in Detroit. They're hoping that we draft Puka, he takes number 30, and then they can just wear their jersey and everything will just, you know, like no problem, just have that overlap. But, you know, that'd be an interesting one, and definitely a name I'm going to be looking for on day three.
I like it. Jason and Nebels, who are your sleeper picks?
We'll kick it to Nebels first.
Oh, man, kick it to Nebels first. Sleeper picks, like I know what, I don't really have a sleeper pick, to be honest with you. Like I said, I took this draft off, fellas. I took this draft off. So, but a couple names out there. I like the big guys, kind of like Ken. I'm looking for someone on, you know, to help solidify that the defensive line, you know, play with Kenny. I think that's somewhere, you know, something that we struggle with. Don't have a whole lot of depth there. Need some, you know, good run stopper, someone that can, you know, get a little bit of pressure in the middle. I believe, I don't recall what his first name is. Last name Wilson. I was looking at his RAS score. He had like a 9.96 RAS score. He had some insane numbers. But he's projected to be, I think, a day three guy. But like I said, I don't really have much of a sleeper. I'm looking more at the position. I say defensive line.
I respect that, and I appreciate that, Nebels.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, day three, there's one name that I just, for some reason, I can't. He just seems like such a Packer, and I'd be shocked to learn that this name hasn't come up yet on one of your shows, either the first half of today, which I look forward to listening to, or a previous show, and that is Quinn Meinerz, the offensive lineman out of UW-Whitewater. But are you seeing a pattern here with me? It's the dog. And I get so frustrated. It just seems like that is obviously talent, speed, athleticism, players. That's what wins you big games. But the Packers could always use some more nasty. He just seems like he's got a Green Bay Packer just written all over him. And I would love to see that come true. If, you know, I mean, it, look, they let the one Whitewater guy go and Tim Boyle. So now they got to bring another one in, right? So Quinn Meinerz is a name I really like a lot. Jalen Mayfield is another one. Okay. If you're looking at the offensive line, you know, if the linebacker, Bryce, to your point, if the Packers don't go safety and they don't get a safety, maybe they find an athletic linebacker who can kind of fill in. And you look at safeties that can also play linebacker. Well, maybe there's a tweener. Maybe there's a linebacker that can also be a safety. You know, some safety names, Andre Sisco, Javon Holland are a couple that come to mind. Eric Stokes at corners, one that I know Brendan Roop over at Game On Wisconsin's done a ton of draft analysis and stuff, really likes Stokes. Ifeti Melifonwu, I know Peter Bukowski absolutely loves him. I don't think he's really a surprise. I think he's going to be a high day two guy. Could even be a low day one guy. He's tested really well. But I think that this sleeper is probably going to be an undrafted free agent. And it's so hard to predict who those guys are going to be because we never know. But there was something that said when I was kind of going through and just recapping last year's draft, I think I was helping out with the draft coverage it came on as we had just started. And Chris Barnes stuck out to me for some reason. I was like, why do I feel like this guy is going to be somebody? I had nothing to go off of. He's a Pac-12 guy. I live in the West Coast. I'm in Phoenix, but I'm a Sun Devil. So I had no knowledge of him, but the Packers have had such, if they can just find one guy that can do that or be that, that's where I think your sleeper is going to come from. So that's what makes it exciting is that even when the draft is over, you still stay glued to what the Packers are going to do and who they're going to sign, because there's a good chance that out of those, you know, what is it, 9 or 10 guys that they end up signing to their practice squad or whatever it be, one of them is likely to turn into something. So, and I don't know how you guys saw this. This Packers team really is not just loaded with holes. Maybe in the future, and I know we've got, you know, Ken, you've talked a lot about the financial situation next year and beyond. And so I guess it's kind of like this blind party in 21, and then everyone's going to wake up in 22, and it's going to be the nightmare of having to go through and fix all the financials. But the Packers don't really have a ton of holes. If they find another gem in undrafted free agency and they just get it right in rounds 1, 2, and 3, they were in the NFC Championship game. They hosted it last year. I think they've got a really good chance to really truly run it back, which was their kind of their approach this year in terms of how they were going to stack up and get ready for 2021.
For sure. All in type of season. And this will be such an important draft too. I can't wait. And when you're talking about like the traditional sleepers, guys that are late round flyers, a guy that comes to mind, a person that I've sort of researched a little bit is cornerback Avery Williams from Boise State. He's a small guy. He's 5'8", 187. But in terms of special teams impact, we desperately need some sort of special teams player. When you're talking about undrafted free agent, he'd probably be a 6th, 7th rounder, maybe undrafted free agent. But he's got 9 career return touchdowns, 5 punts, 3 kickoffs, and a blocked punt. And he also has 5 career blocked kicks. And he was top 12 in punt and kickoff return yardage in 2020. He'd be my late round guy that I'm sort of been keying in on a little bit, but Avery Williams, cornerback. But I wanted to throw that in there. In terms of sleeper, I do believe offensive line, wide receiver, round 1, round 2. But the surprise or sleeper would be if Jameen Davis or some other linebacker that's high on Brian Gutekunst's board, if for some reason they take that after learning from what the Buccaneers did in the NFC Championship game. But as we wrap up draft day, part 2 of 2, NFL draft week, I've got a fill-in-the-blank question for you all. And this will be intriguing now that I know a little bit of your backstories on your draft prep and your approach.
Oh,
so
great.
I'm really giddy for this. But for the sake of it being the NFL draft episode, I should say, the Packers will take blank in the first round. And Niebels,
what?
Sacrificial lamb, we will just have you start off right off the bat.
I don't want to. I'm not going first. Ken's going first.
Okay. Well, the Packers will take blank, so that's really open-ended. I think...
I know you like those.
Yeah. I think they will take player not at pick number 29. How about that? I think they're trading up. And it talked about in the first half of the episode. Today, when we heard Gutekunst speak about kind of, you know, how he views the first round, and he used the term game changers that are available kind of in that upper echelon of that first round into the mid, I have a feeling he's trading up, and how much ammunition he uses to get up there, you know, we'll see. Typically, you know, history tends to prove that trading up over the long term hurts you as a team. And we've done that now a few times in a row, but I think it's going to happen again. But so my answer, final answer locked in. They're going to draft not at 29. They're going up.
I like that. I was not expecting that. We will spare Niebels for this turn, but our guest, Jason Perrone, who will the Packers take in the first round, according to you?
Yeah, I guess I'd go with the safe choice. And I'd have to say, just based on who I think is going to, because I think that if you want a game-changing corner, there's not going to really be a game-changing corner. You can get some value at that position later. So to me, I see wide receiver as that way too obvious position that the Packers are going to double triple at. And if you're going to double triple at something, then you've got to get an impact player. And I'll go with Rashad Bateman. I think there's a good chance that he's gone. If the Packers, definitely if they sit. So I think kind of with you, the Packers have to move up at least a little bit if they want to get him. I'm not convinced that they were too upset last year that they ended up having to settle. I'm using my air quotes right now for Jordan Love. And they didn't get Brandon Ayuk, which was doubly disappointing as a former Sun Devil here. And so are they going to feel like, okay, we're not going to miss out on our guy this time. We're going to move up. We're going to get that guy. So to me, Rashad Bateman makes a lot of sense. He checks the box for the physicality, the size, and Gutekunst was there talking to him face-to-face. It just seems to make a lot of sense. So you can pretty much stamp it now based on the fact that I said that Rashad Bateman will not be the Green Bay Packers' choice in the first round now. So we'll see what happens.
Niebels.
Yes. I'm going to go opposite. I'm going to go just out of spite. I'm going to go opposite of Ken. I'm going to say they trade back. They do not pick at 29. They go move back into the early second round. They gain another pick. And I think with their early second round pick, I don't have a name for you. Like I said, I haven't studied up, but I think they're going to go cornerback.
First round. Interesting.
No first round for Niebels. If I run
no first round for Niebels.
You know, I'm with you, Niebels. Like I said, once you get into those the back of the 20s in the first round, unless there's a deal or a guy that's just like, you have rated so high and it's worth it to go up, it, you know, 10 times out of 10, it usually makes sense to go back and, you know, grab that extra pick. You know, if I were running the show, I'd probably be with you. I'd be going back. But I think I saw that twinkle in Goody's eye today. He has a few names. He's going up. That's where my gut sits.
I love filling the blanks because they go in a variety of different locations. And also, like what Jason mentioned, as well as Neebles and all of us, this is fun. I have no idea what the Green Bay Packers are going to do. And I'm willing to bet everyone that has been covering the Green Bay Packers also really doesn't have a clue, because Brian Gutekunst has been just a magician when it comes to what they do in the draft. I'm super geeked out on what the Packers do. And who I think the Packers will take in the first one, it might surprise some of you because I've been all talking about wide receiver. I think possibly that Kadarius Toney could be there in the second round. I also think that Rondale Moore could also be there in the second round with his injuries and his diminutive size, arguably the most explosive player in the draft. But for some reason, and this is not a sexy pick, and a lot of people are going to start clamoring for me to be removed as co-host of this episode or of this podcast, but center. For some reason, I've been gravitating towards center the past week. I know that typically it's not considered a first-round draft pick, but what Ken said about the trenches, I think it's a position in need, especially with Lindsley being gone. I think that Elgton Jenkins, while looks like to be the future center, he's such a valuable chess piece that you can move him all along the line, and it actually helps the line as well. So the person that I think that the Packers will draft in the first round is Creed Humphrey out of Oklahoma. He's a late first rounder, early second rounder. But for me, he had a 10 RAS score, highly athletic, also is a nasty mauler, wrestling background. For me, for some reason, I just find that if you draft a center, it provides a lot of versatility where you can move Turner, you can move Jenkins. For some reason, I've also been thinking that maybe Jenkins is more fitted at right tackle, possibly, or at left tackle for the time being before David Bakhtiari comes. But sort of a surprise, but I think that the Packers take a center in the first round with that 29th selection, Creed Humphrey.
You know, that would definitely check the box of Jason's comment that if you're talking about him, it's not happening. Well, I haven't heard too much Creed Humphrey talk with the Packers. I think our boy Peter from the UK Packers has been banging that drum a little bit. So I think you and him are on the same page with that center pick. It definitely would not be a sexy pick. I would be totally okay with it for what you mentioned and how many problems that solves on the offensive line, both for the short term and potential long term as well.
That's the beauty of prepping, is that it sort of naturally, organically happened. I think that the Packers can still get a top-tier wide receiver in the second round. Talking about trading up, I think in the second round that the Packers trade up is personally what I've been sort of prognosticating. But there you have it. Draft Day, part 2 of 2, NFL Draft Week episode. Jason, thank you so much for coming on as a guest. And I want all the fans, I'm pretty sure everyone that tunes in checks out your stuff at Game On Wisconsin and Packaday Podcast. But for our listeners that may be unaware, where can they find you throughout social media?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Jason Perrone. And I don't want to forget Pulse of the Pack, which I do with Jacob Westendorf and Paul Bredel. And we're in off-season mode and kind of retooling and gearing up for next season. So we'll see what happens with that. But we're going to have some fun stuff over at Game On this week, as is everybody, I'm sure, gearing up for the draft and just celebrating the day that is. But guys, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate you having me on, and hopefully we'll be back together before too much longer.
Looking forward to it. And next week, we break down your newest Green Bay Packers players. Enjoy the NFL draft. Have fun. Don't take yourself too seriously. And as Jason Perrone says on Quickslants, be kind to one another. I am Bryce Christensen.
I'm Neebles.
And I'm Ken Ingles.
And this is the Unknown Packers Podcast. Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Unknown Packers, as well as Facebook, Instagram, the Unknown Packers podcast. You can check us out on our website, theunknownpackers.com, and a variety of different podcast platforms as well. You can also say, hey, Alexa, play the Unknown Packers podcast. That's right. We're friends with Alexa. Go Pack Go.
This podcast was edited and produced by Sonic Transformation. Sonic Transformation. Your sound refined.